Mark teaching on authority, these two subjects kind of go hand in hand with one another because the Scriptures are our authority for what we do and all that we do as Christians today. Scripture just simply means that which is written. It may carry other definitions, but they're all very much the same when you look at it. Might refer to a book or something that's recorded. But still, it's that which is written. And we'll deal with that in later lessons on that. We do not, over a course of time, we're told that the patriarchal age lasted 2,000 years. And of course, Moses is given that which was recorded in the patriarchal age. So some 2,000 years after the patriarchal age, Moses recorded through the Holy Spirit those things that happened, beginning with the creation of time. Before then, that God guided him to write those things that we have recorded in the book of Genesis. And we know that 1,500 years is given that to the Mosaic period. So you have another period of time that writers or those who received the Word of God no longer received it miraculously, that they could speak what was given to them, but they also recorded that. Now keep in mind, not all that received the Word of God wrote down what was given them. It was just given to a certain number of writers throughout the Old and New Testament. And even in the New Testament time, we're told in Paul's writing in 1 Corinthians 13 that which is perfect had not yet come. So we understand at that time that the writing of the Corinthian letter has taken place. Not everything had been written down or had become Scripture at that time, even though some had. So you had the patriarchal age already written, you had the Mosaic written, and you had parts of the New Testament that was recorded. But not all have been recorded at the time. And so when he talks about that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, he deals with that in the past, that which was present, and that which still lacked to come, that was guided through the Holy Spirit, through men, to write down what God told them to speak. When you look at the Scriptures in the past, are there a certain verse that stands out to you concerning Scripture? Can you think of any verses that stand out that show something about the Scripture and the importance of them? You can look at Romans 15 and verse 4, that those things were written aforetime, were written for our learning, that we through perseverance or patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now we know, as Mark talked about, not all Scriptures apply to us. Just a certain amount of Scriptures that's recorded in the New Testament as reference to what we do. But all things was written for our learning. It's something that we do not neglect to need to teach and preach upon because they're there for a reason. Now, I was thinking as he was teaching that class, he talked about the book of Job. What can we learn from the book of Job? And he made reference to Job and the trials that he went through and the sickness and all that he went through. But through that, you know, Job persevered. I think in the latter part of the book of Job, when Job was questioning God, that God asked Job questions. Let me ask you some questions that Job couldn't answer. It shows me that we don't know nothing compared to God. So it's things that we learn from that. What all is written for our learning in some form, shape, or fashion. It's there recorded for us in Scripture. And if you just go back and think of others, 2 Timothy 2:15, to rightly divide that which is written. Why should we rightly divide? I need to know what's applicable to me today, to be pleasing to God in the commandments that He's given me, or what's not applicable to me, that I do not go back and follow that which was given strictly to the children of Israel. But can I learn from that? Yes, I can learn that through their obedience to what was given them, they were pleasing to God, and if they were pleasing to God through keeping His commandments, then I understand that if I'm in compliance with His commands today, that He's going to be pleased with me. So that's what we learn from that. But there is so much written. The Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes. Why were those books written? And who wrote them? When you look at all these, are you familiar with who wrote these books and what they're about? If those things was written for our learning, and we do not know who wrote them or what the contents of those things are, then they're no value to us. We need to understand that everything was written for us one way or the other. When you look at the beginning of the preaching of the Christian age, or the apostles, their appeal in preaching Christ was to what?
Old Testament scriptures.
The Old Testament scriptures. The prophets. So if it was important for them to know the Old Testament scriptures and what the Old Testament prophets said concerning Christ, why would it not be equally important for us today to know? And when they wrote it, what they wrote about. Most of the writings was to about the children of Israel and the fall of that nation. But, as Mark pointed out, the theme through from beginning to end was that of Christ. And the gospel serves more for that, as far as Christ and His work, than what the other scriptures that was wrote. But all scriptures pointed towards that time. And so it's something important for us to know. When you look, if I ask you, what's some things that are written in the scriptures? Right? What about abortion? Is abortion dealt with in the scriptures? Okay, what about alcohol? Is it dealt with in the scriptures? Sure. Adultery? Assurance? Bad language? Just go think in what all is dealt with in the scriptures. Child training, church attendance, dating, debt or death, employment, as Mark touched upon, entertainment, hell, heaven, hope. But what are these things learned? Can I confine them to the New Testament and say if they're only found in the New Testament? Did that which was already previously written deal with those things? Well, sure they did. The law of Moses dealt with them. That under the patriarchal age dealt with them. Giving, gossip, grace, laziness, neighbor, obedience, you name it. Anything that we encounter in life is dealt with in this word, this written word. It's our guide today. But it's just not dealt with in the pages from Matthew to Revelation. When you're talking about that which is written, you're dealing with this book. That's what our authority deals from, this. And those things that were written in the Old Testament, how did God deal with disobedience there? We can turn back. This is how God dealt with it here. It's recorded for us. Much like the laws of our land, that they go into effect when they're written down. It's law. And so that's the appeal today, that you do something that is not allowed. A speed limit is written down. Here's the speed limit. It's written down. It's law. That's your source of authority. Even though it's man's law. But this is God Almighty's law. It was written through His guidance. The old law of Moses is said to be a covenant between God and the children of Israel. But it was only a covenant upon their acceptance and their keeping of it. Likewise, this law that we have today, which is written, is a covenant between us and God. But it's through our obedience that covenant is there. The purpose of the scriptures is simply to reveal the whole counsel of God to man. Both what we are to believe concerning God and what God requires of us. In it we find God and His will, His glory revealed. This is about God's glory. It tells us who God is. God has revealed us who He is. How we came about. How this world came about. It's written down that we can simply read it in language and learn it and know it. In it we find God and His will and glory. Our relation to Him is laid out, what He requires of us, just like from the beginning, what He required of Adam and Eve and their disobedience. Did they have a law? Sure. And it was told to them by God. It was spoken to them, later recorded by Moses, those very words that God spoke to those. Moses wrote them down for our benefit. Our relation to Him is laid out. The Scriptures are living because they contain the Word of God, who is living and abides forever. 1 Peter 1 and verse 23 tells us this, that this is the living Word. These things that are written down, it's living. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. These words came from the living God. Therefore, these words are living words. These words impart life or death to us in obedience or how we keep those words. The Bible is the most important book in history because of what it can accomplish, that no other book can accomplish. It has influenced thousands of people throughout the ages. Laws have been fashioned upon its teaching. At one time, America fashioned the laws upon this which was written. Not so much today that they've got away from those laws, but at one time, when the Constitution and those of many hundred years ago fashioned our Constitution and the laws, they were based upon this. The teachings of our school at one time fashioned upon what is written, which is no longer. But laws were fashioned upon its teachings. Nations have been established on its principles, and humans have rested upon its promises. We find great comfort as humans, knowing the promises that God has given to us in this written word. But how did this book come to us? How was it transmitted from the mind of God to the hands of man? And what process led us to having this book today? And that's what we want to look at. And that's what Mark deals with on authority. Now that we have that transmitted to us, what application will we make from that which is written? What's contained in this book again? It speaks of and shows the way of life from the time that we're born. The time that we leave this life, it shows us what we need to do. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 33, someone read.
5:33?
Yes.
You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess.
Moses here speaking to the children of Israel. He talks about walking in the ways, that which had been revealed to them through Moses, which was given to him, those things that were written upon tablets of stone. And Moses said, you shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God commands you, that you may walk, live, and that it may be well with you while you're here upon earth, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you go to possess. And so these scriptures, that they teach us the way that we should live from the time that we're born to the day that we die. And it's for our benefit. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning with verse 1, Moses there records every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply, and go and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you, to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. And so He humbled you, allowed you hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone. These scriptures teach us things. That what we're to live by in this world is not the physical things of this world, but this bread, this scripture that is recorded for us, that will do us good all the days of our life if we follow that which is written. In its pages, that is the scriptures, solutions to the deepest problems of life we face are clearly presented. It not only provides answers to the questions, but knowledge, our origins, the existence of God, social relations, family, man's fall, redemption from beginning to end, faith, life, reconciliation. It reveals our hearts to us. Scriptures reveal our hearts. That we can see us, ourselves, of how God sees us. Man may not, but God does. And these scriptures reveal to us who we are. And that's always been the case of scriptures. Scriptures reveal the commandments of God. It reveals the gospel of Christ. Very few scriptures contain the gospel. When I talk about scripture, we're talking about the overall. Very few scriptures contain the gospel. Very few scriptures contain the Ten Commandments. But when you add them all up, then you have scripture. Sometimes when you talk about scripture, you might be talking just about one verse. Larry dealt with the thought of Romans chapter 6. When you look at it, we'll look at verses in the New Testament that has reference just to one verse, one scripture in the Old Testament. But everyone knows the context of Romans chapter 6. But in verse 17 it says, "But God be thanked that though you were the slaves to sin, you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine." That form of doctrine is not dealing with all the gospel. He's simply dealing with one form. That is the baptism. And nothing else. And so sometimes when he appeals to an Old Testament scripture, he's dealing with one verse. He may deal with two verses. But he's not dealing with all the scriptures. And so it needs to be, as Paul told Timothy, to study that shows thyself approved unto God. The word may not be ashamed, but rightly dividing. We need to divide God's word. What is the scripture talking about that we make the correct application in our lives? And not try to make one scripture apply to the whole gospel. It don't. There's just some things recorded in the gospel. It's just for our example. It has nothing to do with something to be obeyed or denied. But when you look at the churches, and those things are recorded in the churches, and the things that took place in the church, what benefit are those scriptures to us? When you look at someone like Diotrephes, why was that put in there? Is it something I need to obey? Is it something I need to deny? Or is it simply put there for my benefit to show what may take place in the church? That you have those that want to have a preeminence in a local congregation. That try to keep those out that they're not pleased with. Certain things are just written for our learning. And so when we look at Scripture, we need to determine the correct applications to our lives. And not take things, if you will, out of context. So it reveals the gospel of Christ. How we deal with the world, the state, the church, and social fellowship. In all aspects of our life, Scripture is given to us. The Scriptures communicate life. Life, the written Word of God, and the incarnate or the fleshly Word of God, and how they're related. When you look at John 1 and verse 1, how's the Word and that which became flesh, how are they related? That which is written. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This God was made flesh. The written Word reveals who this person was. How did I learn about God's Son? I read this Word. It's written. It's recorded for me. And so Christ was made flesh. And I learned about Him through history. As the Ethiopian eunuch learned about the gospel from that which was written. He was taught. And folks, when you look at the Old Testament, we need to know the Old Testament. Because that's how the early church taught. He was there for that purpose. Their source of authority was appealed to on that which was written concerning Christ. How did they prove that he was Christ? It is written. That was their source of authority. To prove that Christ was, well, who said it? Well, it wasn't from the gospel. It was from the Old Testament scriptures. And throughout time, from the very beginning, as Donnie talked about in Genesis, the first prophecy, from that time on, we'll do a class on the number of times that the Old Testaments are referred to in the New Testament and the prophets that were referred to. It might kind of amaze you if you've not done a study on them. How many times the appeals are made to that which is written and to the prophets and to the law on that. It has the capacity of nourishing the souls of man. It feeds the soul. That's the purpose of this word, this spiritual word, this spiritual bread. Jeremiah chapter 15. And someone read verse 16. About this, your words were found. He what? He ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. These words, this which is written, is for the nourishing of our soul. This complete 66 book. I don't know, Donnie may know, Larry may know, of how many chapters are contained in this Bible. I'm thinking it's 1,100 and I'm not for sure. But it's a great many number of chapters. And you look at maybe the number of words, if you do that, of what all is there. And again, it don't deal with all the prophets of God that we look at also. It just deals with a limited number of prophets that God dealt with. Even though others preach the same thing, but they're what they preach is not recorded. But what is recorded is enough for our benefit. Don, did you have
1187,
he was writing. Yeah, I thought it was 11 something.
Old Testament, 260 in the
New. That's a lot of chapters. That's a lot of words. You know. And again, does God expect us to know that? Well, he expects us to try to know it. That's what we are to spend our life. And even that, if our lives be 100, probably we'll never be able to understand it. We can probably read through it. But there's a great difference between reading and studying. But it has capacity of nourishing the souls of men. He will never be exhausted. The depths and the treasures and truths within it can never be fully explored in an entire lifetime. The great treasures, and we look at verses that talks about the great treasures of God that are contained in this book. In this scripture that we're dealing with. Scriptures teach us the importance of scriptures. When you look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, that we made reference to, in that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. What's the purpose? What can scriptures do? Well, they're profitable for doctrine, for proof, for correction, for instructing me to do what is right. It talks about that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And again, when you look at here, all scripture, it's dealing with that. What we talk about was in the past, was in the present at the time that Christ was on the earth, that the apostles was preaching, and that which had not yet been completed or written down. But all that is by the inspiration of God. God guided men. A verse that Donnie has often referred to in John chapter 20. In verse 31. John says, but these things are written. What things are written? Those things that John are writing about here. So you have part of that gospel which is already written. It becomes scripture. These things are written as you are. They believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so you have one apostle here that has recorded the word. They are written. They become scripture. That we can read and we can know that believing in Him we have life in His name. So that is recorded. We looked at Romans chapter 15, verse 4, the things written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through perseverance and patience might have life. Psalms chapter 19. The psalmist there records these words beginning in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. And so Scripture, 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, that which we have seen, that which we declare to you, that which we also may have fellowship with us, and through our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ, and these things we write. They're recorded. John says, we write these things to you. They become Scripture. That which is written. Someone turn to Micah 5 and verse 8 and read.
And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many peoples, like a lion among the beasts of the forest. Like a young lion among flocks of sheep, who, if he passes through, both treads down and tears in pieces, and none can deliver.
Now with that, I'll give you the wrong one time to read 6 and verse 8.
He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God.
He has shown you how we have the Scripture. To do what? What is good? What does the Lord call you to do justly? Do we have things recorded for us that I can do that command? That I can do things that are just. To love mercy. Has God shown me how to have mercy? Well, we ask God for mercy. How did God extend mercy? All I have to do is read how He done it. Then I know what was required for me to do. These things are in Scripture that teaches us. And to walk humbly with your God. We need to understand other things about the Scriptures. We need to keep in mind the purpose of Scriptures and the application therein for us. Care should be taken to understand the meaning of what the writer wrote. We made reference to 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 to rightly divide these Scriptures. Because there's consequences in making wrong applications. And so we need to understand, take care to understand the meaning of what the writer intended to say. And you can do that in the context of who's speaking, what about, where it's at, the time, or what the circumstances of what people say. That's how you establish context. That's right to rightly divide. You put it in the right covenant it needs to be in. You don't pull something out of the old concerning mechanical music. Make application to the new. And so you're not doing justice to the Scriptures. We need to recognize that the Bible is concerned with both what we believe and how we live. Both sound doctrine and sound living, not just what we believe, regardless of how we live. 2 Timothy 1, verse 13.
Sound words which you've heard from me in faith, in love, which are in Christ Jesus.
Paul says, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard. If we hold fast those sound words which we read of in the Scriptures, then we should live our lives according to that soundness that we are to heed to. He also says the same words in Titus 1 and verse 9. When he talks about holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, both to exhort, to convict those who contradict. This soundness that we hold fast sound doctrine. And by that we should have our living be sound in accordance with the Scriptures in all that we do. We need to understand that faith and practice are equally important and interrelated. This faith that I believe in should show me how to walk in this life. They go hand in hand. You cannot separate one from the other. Those things set forth in the Scriptures have implications for our lives. Remember, the Scriptures tell us how to live from the time that we're born to the time that we die. That's what the purpose of the Scriptures is. How I conduct myself. Do I hold fast to that sound doctrine, those Scriptures which I must heed to, that are the commandments from God to me in this life? And I learn the consequences of not doing that from other Scriptures, both old and new. The Scriptures are concerned with revealing the whole counsel of God, not simply the gospel. When you talk about Scripture, you're just not dealing with the gospel, okay? Like I say, the Scriptures that contain the gospel, even the New Testament, and you've got the four gospels that are kind of the history that leading up to the gospel. And so how many chapters would you have dealing with probably just the gospel? If you want to include the letters that were wrote. You have, 200-something, Donnie? You take away Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which is 28, and you've got, 16? John's got, 21? You're probably down to, 100-something? So when you talk about the gospel and Scripture, very little Scripture has that of contain the gospel. But that's the main theme more than any other Scripture concerning what the Scriptures are about. That's Christ Jesus. But there's not really that much as far as the gospel. But when you look at the gospel, you have different aspects because I've just said under the New Testament. Of course, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You have very few Scriptures that deal with that. You have the effect of the churches that came about after that, of those who believe that, then you have the writers dealing with the problems in the church and the early church and all that they went through, the persecutions. But again, you keep in mind that when you talk about the whole counsel of God, it's just not simply the gospel. You're dealing with these 66, 1180-some chapters of book that is written, if you will, as Moses said, by the finger of God. Time for us to go. Any thoughts? Okay, thank you.